Good morning and welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, partner in charge of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. We created the center in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at www.businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Radio Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our conversation this morning is with Gwynne Sykes, Chief Financial Officer of NASA. Good morning, Gwynne.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you. And joining us in our conversation also from IBM is Steve Sika. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Paul.
Well, Gwynne, let's start by learning more about NASA. Most people are familiar with NASA and it's widely recognized. For our listeners, could you tell us about the mission and the vision of NASA?
Sure, certainly. The vision of NASA is pretty much simple. It's kind of a three key components. It's to improve life here, to extend life there, and to find life beyond. That's pretty much the overarching vision. And it's pretty broad when we're talking about space exploration and talking about exploring the new frontier, which is past our Earth and where we're living. Kind of the mission, what we always focus on at NASA, because of course everyone would like to focus on what's going on in outer space, but there's some things that are relevant here on the home planet. So our mission is to understand and protect our home planet, to explore the universe and search for life, and to inspire the next generation of explorers. Because in order to accomplish our mission at NASA, we need to make sure that we have the technical individuals coming in behind the ranks, the young explorers coming behind us that are interested in math and science and technology in order to continue that exploration vision that we have. It's a pretty big mission and a very big vision, but it's one that's been carried for over 60 years. We started in the Apollo era, and we're now starting in a new era with our new presidential initiative as far as for space exploration. And that is now looking at going from moon back to the moon, heading to Mars, and looking at beyond. So we've got quite a lot on our plate here at NASA.
That's great, Gwynne. Can you tell us a little bit about the specific roles and responsibilities that you have as the Chief Financial Officer of NASA?
Well, they tell me I have quite a few hats. I'm the Chief Financial Officer and also the Chief Acquisition Officer, so they affectionately call me Chief Two Hats. As far as the Chief Financial Officer, I maintain the rudimentary budget, accounting, execution, and auditing type of areas. And then as in my new role as the Chief Acquisition Officer, I've also incorporated some other financial features, which are procurement and small business. And what we've done in our new transformed organization since we've gotten the new presidential vision over a year and 2 months ago, is streamlined a lot of the financial operations within one particular area. So that way we have a beginning to end or soup to nuts type of operation. So from the point that we budget to the point that we acquire acquisition and procurement and then the finance and the execution. And then as we move forward to being able to do earned value management or cost independent cost assessment, we have a common data stream amongst all of those. And being Chief Two Hats, I have the ability to influence the data elements associated with all of those. And it positions us to be in a better opportunity to provide a space exploration program that is credible and affordable and have the data to support it.
Tell us about your team, your immediate team.
My immediate team is made up of about six key SES staffers in various disciplines from finance, accounting, procurement, policy, and quality assurance, as well as I need a deputy, of course, being a Chief Two Hats. The skills that are within my organization are varied, so I have to have, it's not a one-size-fit-all type of skills development for the actual individuals that work in that area. I have procurement specialists, which I have a succession in educational and skills training development for the new and innovative ways that we're looking at procurement. I have to have technological or engineering and technological type individuals in my budgeting area because the types of things that we're trying to proffer at NASA and budget for at NASA are very indeed engineering and technically related. So I have an engineering type component in my financial shop. So most of them are engineers and technicians of that nature, but they have a financial background. And then, of course, you have your typical accountants and auditors, which are doing the execution and auditing. And then I have another contingent of individuals, which are the independent cost analysis type individuals. Most of those have PhD type backgrounds. So I have quite the gamut when it comes to the types of individuals that I have to manage. But you can imagine trying to get each of those elements talking the same language is very intriguing. So hopefully I've been highly successful in that area, getting most of the barriers broken down and talking in those different types of disciplines.
Tell us a little bit about your previous roles before you joined NASA back in November of 2002, and how do you think they've helped prepare you for the role that you have now as CFO?
Starting out my career as a good defense contract audit agency gave me the opportunity to look at the detail, to be able to investigate, to turn over stones, and to be able to look at and see how an operation actually works and how you actually put the financial elements associated with that. Next in my stair-stepper career, I ended up working for Senator Ted Stevens, Representative Senator from Alaska. In that capacity, I actually worked in the fisheries development area, and unfortunately during the Exxon Valdez type of environment. That was quite interesting because not only do I have the human element and the element of working in a large senator's office and having to deal with public policy, but also working with the people element and associating it with a management type of regime in order to get accomplish a mission, to get a law enacted, but also ensuring that the financial health of the state was taken care of at that point in time. So that was very intriguing for me in development in my career. Next on my path, I went to the Department of Defense, and many people ask me what's the difference from working in the Department of Defense and financial management in NASA. Probably the number. Many billions to a couple billion. But as you know, the CFO Act was enacted in 1990, and that's about the time that I went to the Department of Defense. And working in that financial management community, I learned a lot. I actually was on the cutting edge of implementing a lot of new and exciting types of financial management, one of them being working capital funds, which were started there at the Department of Defense. They've had them for quite some time. They were called Navy Industrial Funds, but they have evolved to what they call working capital funds. So a lot of that basic financial management, innovative thinking, and of course the large magnitudes of dollars to be able to explore and be able to do that at Department of Defense has helped me in my career transition to NASA. The difficulty has been taking all of that knowledge and applying it in such a very highly technological and engineering type field.
Gwen, it sounds like in those previous roles that you spent a lot of time collaborating with a lot of people in order to move your agendas forward. How important has that been in your role at NASA?
People are key. One of our visions at NASA is knowing that people are first, and we have what we call NASA Family is First. And if you do not have the people behind whatever the initiative that you're trying to do or whatever change you're trying to implement, then it doesn't necessarily happen as quickly as one would think, particularly in a bureaucratic situation. But you find if you point the folks in the right direction and you challenge them to say, is this the right thing to do? 9 times out of 10, 75% of them will raise their hand. And if you can get them to believe in that you can actually impact that change, they will actually start moving towards that change. And that's pretty much what we've done at NASA when it comes to financial management. So,
when you describe your career, Glenn, you talked about being in the legislative branch and now in the executive branch. Any perspectives, sort of what you thought it would be like when you were in one and you looked at the other?
Well, I used to think when I worked for Senator Stevens that there's just one thing you would never want to be seen made, or two things in this world you just don't want to see made, sausage and laws. Now it's sausage, laws, and becoming a political. I've added that to my agenda. I had no idea what it would be to become a political appointee, and the prestige, the responsibility, and the entrust of the public to you and the responsibilities of the things that they ask you to carry out as a political appointee as compared to being a public servant. I always thought being a public servant was the epitome of service within one's entity and one's career. But once stepping up to the bat to be a political servant or a political appointee has been truly intriguing. Has given me great opportunities, but it's also a significant challenge because you have such a short time frame to make such a significant impact. And, you know, again, back to the bureaucratic or the bureaucracy of government, recognizing that these folks will follow you, but you want to make sure that whatever you do and whatever you're trying to do, it leaves a legacy for when you leave or when you move on. Because, again, presidential years, you never know. You have to make sure that you have that type of an impact. But you want to make sure that what you're doing is something that's going to be right and it can outlive you.
I imagine from time to time you've had other opportunities outside of public service. What's kept you in public service?
Actually, I come from a family of public servants. My dad was in the military, and my mother actually was a public health nurse for the state of Alaska. And she actually would go out to the rural and bush areas and deliver babies out in the rural areas. And, of course, my dad, having served over 30 years in the military service, our family is pretty much public servants. My sister currently is a public health nurse for the state of Alaska now also. And I have a younger brother who works in the technology field there in the state of Alaska. So it's pretty much a family trait, something that we enjoy doing. If you don't have a passion for what you're doing, if you don't wake up each day and saying, I can make a difference, it does. It makes a big difference. Matter of fact, I just had a conversation with a friend yesterday. He thought as a CFO of a major space agency that my salary was truly significant. And he goes, and I just really don't want to, you know, get into that conversation. I'm like, oh, go ahead. Check out OPM.gov. It's on there. And he's like, I make way more than you. And I was like, yeah. And he goes, why are you staying in there? And I said, because I like what I do. The people that work for me, the people that I get to work with, and the things that we're doing are great, and it makes a difference to me.
It's an interesting point. What's the new age of exploration? We'll ask Glenn Sykes, CFO of NASA, to explain this as our conversation about management continues when the Business of Government Hour returns.